Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's disinfecting wipes conveniently tackle surfaces, including remotes, tablets, and smartphones, killing 99.9% of viruses and bacteria. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hello and welcome to the Ice Guys. This is the show that takes you into the world of the National Hockey League. Every game, every day, from a betting perspective. With pro sports handicappers, Ian Cameron, Alex P. Smith, and various guests from the world of hockey and sports betting. And now, here's your host, Ian Cameron.
Welcome to the Ice Guys, presented by Boston Hemp, Inc. Monday, April 29th, Ian Cameron, Alex B. Smith, Brett Skalski in the house, ready to get you set for two games on the Monday night NHL's playoff slate. Tonight, we've got possible elimination game, once again, with the Battle of Florida, Lightning and Panthers, and a pivotal game four in Vegas between the Stars and the Golden Knights. Stars got themselves back into the series with an overtime win Saturday. They'll need another one, though, tonight to really feel like they're back in the series. So we'll break those down in a moment. Shout out to everyone in the chat. We want to remind you right off the hop that we have a Patreon exclusive live betcast coming up tomorrow night, Tuesday, April 30th, 7 p.m. Eastern time. And look, we, as you guys know, I mean, we announced the betcasts for the month of April, what, right at the beginning of the month? You know, so we had no idea what the schedule of games was going to look like, you know, tomorrow night when we scheduled the betcast. And it is a humdinger. It is a slobber knocker, if you will, of NHL playoff action tomorrow night. You've got four games. All of them are game fives. All of them with teams facing elimination as well. We could be saying goodbye to the Toronto Maple Leafs. We could be saying goodbye to the New York Islanders. We could be saying goodbye to the Winnipeg Jets. And we could be saying goodbye to the Nashville Predators tomorrow night with game fives across the board. So what an exciting elimination night on the Patreon exclusive live betcast tomorrow night. So what a time to join us, and no better time than now. Again, $10 per month. Get on the Patreon page as a member, patreon.com/iceguys. Join us for that betcast. It's going to be our last betcast of the first round, by the way. Our next betcast after tomorrow will be in the second round, which will begin next Monday. So just be aware of that. So yeah. Our last betcast of the first round, and it's Patreon exclusive tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern time. Again, if you want to tune in to the betcast and join us, the only way to do it is to become a member for just $10 per month, patreon.com/iceguys. A huge Sunday of NHL action, which concluded really a weekend where I just sat on my ass all weekend watching hockey. That's essentially what I did. Once we finished the Saturday show, Alex and I, and of course, we jumped on and we did the Sunday show with Jeremy Williams yesterday, who did a great job. Shout out to Jeremy Williams, a great guest yesterday on the show. It was really just me watching hockey. You know, I was at friend's house Saturday for all the hockey action. And then, of course, Sunday, just me and my best friend. The television is often my best friend. So there you go, at Stanley Cup playoff time. And, you know, you look at it, and this whole weekend, we talked, of course, the Saturday games. But when you look at yesterday, it started with Colorado and Winnipeg. And the Winnipeg Jets really authored the same demise of a script that they authored in game three. You just cannot take that many penalties against the Colorado Avalanche. The power play absolutely wrecked them once again. Connor Hellebuck, another substandard game for him. I don't think he was as bad. In fact, I thought early in the game he was actually really good. But again, those timely saves that you need your goaltender to make in a series, not able to make them consistently or enough of them right now is Connor Hellebuck. Look, the Cale Makar goal was a thing of beauty. That was highlight reel shit. No question about that. But still, that shot, he looked a little wobbly in net, Hellebuck, little off the angle. I'd like to see my goaltender in particular make that save. He was unable to do it. It was just a very, for Winnipeg, and where's their offense gone? Like, they had, at one point in the third period yesterday, 12 or 13 shots on goal with just prior to 10 minutes left in the third period of that game. You're not going to win a hockey game to pepper not getting that more shots and more chances than that. I mean, you're making life easy on a Colorado defense and a goaltender that we had huge question marks about coming into this series. And you've just made life so simple for them. You give them power plays and they score on them. They get a lead. They get comfortable. They get confident. The building gets rocking there, Ball Arena. And you're not pressing the issue enough offensively. Like, so they have had trouble generating offensive chances the last few games against Colorado. And, you know, I was worried after game three, that meltdown in the third period, which turned a 2-1 lead for the Jets into a 6-2 loss, that are they going to do what they did last year, win game one and then just completely collapse the rest of the series? And they're on pace to do just that once again this year, especially with one more loss if this series does indeed end in Winnipeg in game five. The only bit of good news is their best two games in this series were in Winnipeg. They won game one, their only win in this series. Game two, I don't think they played bad. It was right there for the taking. It was a close game, but Colorado emerged. They better hope they can feed off that crowd because Colorado's got it going right now. The power play movement for Colorado, spectacular. And again, the Avalanche have made Winnipeg pay the ultimate price for all the penalties and all the lack of discipline that the Winnipeg Jets have shown here these last two games. So Winnipeg backs against the wall, down 3-1 as the series shifts back to Winnipeg. And Alex, I got to say, we're both both of us liking the Jets here. We're very disappointed. We're very befuddled with just how undisciplined they've been in these last two games, basically doing the exact thing you cannot do against a team like the Colorado Avalanche. And you thought maybe after game three, they would learn their lesson. They didn't. And they took more penalties. The power play burned them again. Hellebuck continues to have issues playing at his best and duplicating the way he played in the regular season in the playoffs. It's nice that Rick Bowness finally decided, let's give him a break and put Laurent Brossoit in the third period. Should have been done earlier. And then he confirms after the game, it's Hellebuck's net. Like, he'll be starting game five. This is not, we're going to Brossoit now. But boy, there's not a lot to hang your hat on for Winnipeg as you face elimination here on Tuesday night.
No, not at all. And we were talking about it before we went on air that, you know, you get blown out in this game and you're looking at two straight years of where you know, a gentleman sweep. You might have to make a change and fire Rick Bowness because that's going to be the disconnect, right? I mean, obviously this is a shift in lineup. And like I said, we saw, you know, good play during the regular season, but for some reason, once you get that first win in the playoffs, you can't steer the ship in the right direction after that. So that, you know, at some point has to fall on coaching. And that might seem a little dire, a little drastic, but with other good coaches, we talked about that on the BetCast, some of the coaches that are around, the names that are floating around, maybe you're going to make a change because you still have this group heading in the next season and beyond. You still got Connor Hellebuck, you know, for the next several years moving forward. So you're not going to make any drastic player changes. You're going to have to make some kind of change, and the shakeup might be with the head coach. So it'll be interesting to see how they come out back at home. But, yeah, it's troublesome. Somebody who has, you know, Jets futures. I jumped all over the Jets after game one and added, you know, some West and Cup and Hellebuck Conn Smythe to the portfolio because I thought those were good prices. All that's about to go down the drain. And just the way that they're doing it, like you said, just taking dumb penalty after dumb penalty. You cannot have a parade to the penalty box against a team with a dangerous power play and a dangerous offense like the Colorado Avalanche. Like you said, and then on the flip side, you're not challenging Georgiev. You're not challenging that defense. So now you're giving him rest. Now you're giving him energy. When he's supposed to be facing 35, 40, 45 shots, you guys can only get 12 to 20. That's just completely unacceptable all the way around. And we look at Hellebuck as well. It's funny, we talked about Georgiev being worn out. Connor Hellebuck is the guy who has played 60-plus games in, what, 5 times in his career? He's been the league leader in games played 4 times in his career. Maybe we've hit a point now in this league where you probably shouldn't play any goaltender 60 games or more in a regular season, because this guy's been a pillar of excellence during the regular season. But then you look at his playoff numbers, not so good. So there's a lot of question marks floating around with Winnipeg, especially if they lose game 5 and they lose this series.
Couple of things, too, and it's not just on Hellebuck. Josh Morrissey's had a really rough series, especially the games in Denver. I mean, he can't even keep the puck on his stick. He's bobbling the puck. He's coughing it up at the blue line. You know how many times he had an opportunity, especially when the Jets power play was wretched yesterday, by the way? Do you know how many times he had an opportunity to keep the puck in at the blue line? You know how many times I see him bobble it and lose possession and have to recoil in the neutral zone because he can't hold the line? I mean, he just had a really tough couple of games. Sean Monahan can't find him with a telescope again in the playoffs. What else is new? I guess I shouldn't be surprised anymore after what we saw from the Calgary Flames days. And look, I got to even criticize a guy. We love this guy and the way he's played this year. It's been a very quiet, unassuming series for one Gabe Vilardi, who was a spark for the Winnipeg Jets throughout the course of the season. He has not made any sort of imprint, any sort of impact on this series. Great regular season, phenomenal. And his play, you know, down the stretch and his contributions offensively is what led me to be very excited about what's to come here for Winnipeg in the future in this series. But unfortunately, Vilardi's efforts offensively have been muted. Scheifele, you know, hasn't been great. Kyle Connor, after an amazing game 1, he didn't do a whole lot in game 3 and in game 4. It's all the collective great players of the Jets and the players they count on the most that have really let them down. And it's very simple. Your best players have to be your best, and they need better from them moving forward. There's no question. Brett, did you have any thoughts on what we saw with Winnipeg, Colorado?
It's just the adjustments, right? After giving up 7 goals, Colorado made the adjustments to help Georgiev a little bit better. And Winnipeg's not doing the same. They've given up at least 5 goals in every single game, including the one they've won. They've got to have an adjustment at some point to limit the shots on goal and the danger chances that Hellebuck's seeing. They're just not doing that.
They aren't. There's no question about that. They aren't. And very, very unfortunate. And by the way, speaking of very unfortunate, you don't want to see anyone lose their job, but it looks like breaking news out of Seattle. Dave Hakstol has been let go. Dave Hakstol fired as head coach of the Seattle Kraken. Elliot Friedman just making that announcement. So coaching change in Seattle, their first coaching change as a franchise. Of course, Dave Hakstol's been the head coach of the Seattle Kraken for all 3 years of existence so far for the franchise. But no, there's no doubt, I think, when you look at it from Ron Francis's perspective, the GM of this team, this was a huge fall down for the Kraken this year. I mean, this is a team that got to game 7 of the second round last year. It was one win away from the conference finals. And to have the kind of fall down that they had this year, where not only did you not make the playoffs, you weren't even close. You weren't even sniffing playoff contention down the stretch of the regular season. So I think just because of the massive fall that we saw from the team, I guess it compelled Ron Francis to make a coaching change. And you know what? I see a young group. I see prospects. I see a Shane Wright that's finally starting to percolate now. We saw some glimpses of what he might finally be ready to become at the NHL level. And I see this young talent that's in the pipeline there with the Kraken. And all I can think of is, I know a certain man by the name of Jay Woodcroft that would be a real nice fit here with the Seattle Kraken. He'd be number 1 on my list. I don't know what Ron Francis is thinking. And I know Ron Francis is old school. He's got his favorites. He's got his old cronies he knows from back when he played, but never mind that. And anyone you know personally, go out there and get Jay Woodcroft in here, because I think it would be a perfect marriage for this hockey team.
I absolutely agree. And I totally agree with this move of firing Hakstol. They went backwards. They went backwards compared to what we saw from last year. And, you know, you just know what you're going to get from Hakstol. Defense first. And he was brought in, keep in mind, he was brought in to really kind of stable the ship as being an expansion team, where we thought, okay, we may not be able to recreate the Vegas scenario, so let's focus more on the defensive aspect. He's not really a good two-way coach, in my opinion. you know, we saw flashes of brilliance from the offense when they played well, but it was never consistent. And now that you have more offensive talent, you've got good goaltending that you can rely on, then they don't have to be such a defense-heavy team. You got to get a coach that can fit that kind of a system. I think Woodcroft would be a perfect fit, and just kind of run it back to what we're talking about with Winnipeg. Now, probably even more so, you got to make a decision on Bonus if you get knocked out, because you may not be able to get a Woodcroft. I don't think Woodcroft would have been a good fit for Winnipeg. I actually think Dean Evason might be the guy that would be a good target for Winnipeg should they go in a different direction of Bonus. But, you know, you got teams with these moving parts. I don't think San Jose has found a fill-in yet for Quinn. So you got, you know, teams making these moves and these decisions, especially with what, about a week away before the lottery, to see where everybody is with the draft. So a lot of different pieces and stuff falling through with these coaching changes.
This is going to be a fascinating offseason with the coaching carousel. Like, there's a lot of jobs opening up right now still. And you know who's really angry with this announcement of Dave Hakstol being fired? He's probably doing a slow burn in the San Jose offices there. Mike Greer. Over this news, because all this means is it's another job that opens up that's more appealing than his own team, you know. And I mean, that's just that's what he's going to be upset about. Geez, another job opening, another job that people are going to want more than coming here to San Jose and taking on this dumpster fire.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. Hakstol might actually be a good fit for San Jose because, like,
developmental coach. Yep, developmental coach. He coached in college too. Yes.
And Lord knows if there's anything the Sharks need to work on first is defense. So he might actually be that might actually end up kind of being a you know piece falls into the right spot kind of.
And let's be honest, it's going to be a cheap hire too. He's not going to command you know, big bucks, big dollars. And San Jose can't exactly pay anyone big dollars right now with the attendance figures they had this past year. So that's another reason. That's actually a good thought there. Might be a fit there, Hakstol with San Jose. But Brett, breaking news here, Dave Hakstol out. And, of course, there's someone you saw up close and personal as a Philadelphia Flyers fan, you know, a few years ago in Philly. But Hakstol out in Seattle, the Emerald City.
I never thought he was a great coach going back to the Flyers, but that was also his first job after North Dakota, right? So he needed some time to get his legs under him, I think, at the NHL level. And they always say your second team is going to be where you're kind of most successful. So I think he did a good job in Seattle, but like you guys said, he might be a good fit for San Jose, that developmental coach. A lot of young guys, a lot of prospects. That might be a good fit for him. But who knows? The next couple of weeks, we could see even more job opportunities open up with, depending on how some of these series go in the next week or so.
Well, think about it. We're talking about Rick Bonus. He may not be safe if they go out in five. Sheldon Keefe's obviously on the hot seat. You know, if Toronto goes out, there's another one. And there's also another one, too, that I'm thinking. Oh, L.A., there's no guarantee Jim Hiller is going to be the permanent head coach. Yeah, right. I would not expect him to be the permanent head coach, quite honestly. So there's going to be an opening there for the Kings. So, like,
have
there's going to be more openings,
too. Yeah. Have they taken the interim tag off of John Hines here? I haven't heard anything official.
I have not heard yet. Yeah, Minnesota's kind of quiet right now. We're waiting to hear something on that front. You're right. Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of kind of pieces laying in wait as well.
Yeah. So there's no doubt. I mean, the offseason, this season, like with the coaching casualties and the coaching job openings that look like that are going to be on display and available, it's going to make for some interesting observations and how this plays out here in the next few months for sure. So there we go. We had to talk about that because it just broke with Hakstol being out in Seattle. It'll be interesting to see who Seattle. Like I say, if I'm Ron Francis, Jay Woodcroft's my guy. He's the perfect man to take over this team with where they're at right now. Because look what he did in Edmonton. They were on the shambles when Dave Tippett was fired because their season was slipping away, and he brings them into the playoffs. Now, credit, Knobloch's done the same thing this year in Edmonton, but so did Woodcroft. Woodcroft did it as well with the Edmonton Oilers a few years ago. So he'd be number one on the list for sure. As far as my head coaching candidates in Seattle. Second game yesterday was Vancouver and Nashville, and this is just surreal how this game unfolded because Nashville was in control. You know, they had a huge, it was 30-12, I think, at one point, shots on goal in favor of Nashville. Up 3-1. They looked like they were in that Vancouver was not generating much either. So the catatonic shock of what happened in Nashville yesterday is based on the fact probably that they shut Vancouver down for like 18 minutes in that third period. Like Vancouver really did not generate much when they were trailing 3-1 to the Nashville. Nashville was in control. They were playing a great defensive game in the third period. They capitalized on their chances earlier in the game. A 2-on-1 rush, Gus Nyquist, Philip Forsberg, early in the third period. Little lucky break, but when you're a good player like him, sometimes you make your own breaks. And the puck went in off his skate. Predators get the 3-1 goal. But then all of a sudden, and credit to Rick Tocchet, he pulled Arturs Shelovs with about 2.5 minutes, 2:45 left in the third period, or actually more than that. It was over 3 minutes left. Gave this team a real chance down by two to at least get one quickly and still have time to tie it later. So that's great coaching by Rick Tocchet there to get the goaltender out as early as he did. And what can you say about, first, he already scored the only goal they had before, Brock Besser. He scores the second goal. It's a brilliant feed, 3-2, 2.5 minutes left, still plenty of time. And Vancouver ends up taking Shelovs out of the net again, trying to tie it. They had a couple good chances, but then Nashville gets the opportunity and the look they need to put the game away into the empty net. And the ultimate pet peeve we all have with certain teams and players in this league is hit the fucking empty net. Be clinical. Be surgical when you get that opportunity. You know that basketball saying, play through contact when you score a basket? That's what you have to do when you're trying to put the game away into the empty net. You have to play through contact. Someone's going to try to block the shot. Someone's going to try to knock you into the boards like they did to Colton Sissons in that game yesterday. But you've in a critical moment of the game, you have a chance to put the game away, tie the series. You've got to play through that contact, look at your target, look real good, like look at it. Look right at that gaping, yawning cage. Look right at it and shoot that thing into the empty net, even with the contact, and make it a shot that's got velocity. Make sure you're looking at your target and somehow, some way, clank off the post. It was a yawning cage. I know the angle wasn't the best, but that is an angle you should still be able to put that puck in if you're Colton Sissons into that empty net. He didn't. And you know, and the moment I saw that, I'm like, watch them. I said out loud just to me, watch them tie this game now. And wouldn't you know it? Wouldn't you fucking know it? They tied it. And what a job by Brock. Brock Besser was just incredible yesterday. The Brock star, as they call him in Vancouver. And he played like one yesterday. Hat trick. He gets the tying goal. What an effort, too, because he missed the first chance. He recoils the puck on his stick. And then great hands around the net to just casually, calmly, and with poise and with patience, put it in past a diving Saros to tie that game. It was just an incredible turn of events, one that I was not thrilled about being on Nashville in that game, but it was still incredible. I couldn't believe it. And all the momentum is with Vancouver going into overtime. All the air is out of the building at Bridgestone Arena there in Music City. And sure enough, it lasted barely a minute into overtime. And Elias Lindholm gets the game winner in overtime. And he had a very good game. And he's getting better and better as these playoffs go on. And an absolutely shocking turn of events in Nashville. A 3-1 Nashville lead with barely 3 minutes left turns into a 4-3 overtime win for the Vancouver Canucks. And if you're Andrew Brunette, good luck getting this team to pick themselves up off the mat, because that's as devastating, that's as brutal, and that is as painful as it gets to lose a game like that, Alex, and now they're up against it.
If I'm Brunette, I'm back skating Colton Sissons until he pukes. What in the absolute fuck are you doing taking a backhand shot in that spot with a guy right on you? Like you said, play through the contact, get a fucking...
be hard on that puck. Exactly. Yes.
And you win the game. And now it's a 2-2 series. He blew it. Like I said, for 18 minutes, that whole team played solid defensive hockey, kept Vancouver to a standstill. And all you had to do was just fucking play through some contact, take a hit, get a quality shot off, and win the game. And he completely blew it with a backhander. Are you Sir Patrick Kane? Are you Pavel Datsyuk? Are you Marion Garrick? Are you one of these guys with hands to get a fucking backhand shot off? No, absolutely not. It was absurd. I was furious watching that. Like I said, same thing. It's like, okay, yeah, they can come right back down. If they got enough
time. Were you like me after that missed empty net? Watch Vancouver tie it. Oh, yeah. Were you thinking that?
I thought maybe they might have would have run out of time, and they damn near did. It was about 6 seconds left. But had that been, if we had had enough time to bet that live, I would have definitely jumped all of that live. No question about it. And it's just completely boneheaded. And like you said, now with all the air out of that team, and now you have to go back to a Vancouver where you know Vancouver's going to be rocking and rolling. And the question now, do you stick with Shelovs if DeSmith is healthy enough to play? I think you do. I think at this point you ride him. And because here's the thing, like I said, the drop off between him and DeSmith, not a heck of a whole lot, right? All right, Demko's done. So now this is our 1-2. This is what we're dealing with. You're not having much of a drop off. Ride the rookie now, and then if he falters or whatever, then you go back to DeSmith, who just, you know, he doesn't have much more experience, but at least he's a veteran enough to where you can trust him. He's the normal backup. So be a backup again and come back through in that spot. But I think, you know, we've seen rookie magic in the playoffs before. Maybe this is the sign of the rookie magic, and if you can win this series in 5 and then have some days to rest. But I think you still stay with Shelovs moving forward and just go from there and see what happens in the second round.
Yeah, I mean, just absolutely incredible, really, how that game played out. And he deserves a lot. Why did they even have a chance to tie that game? I think the play in net of Artur Shelovs yesterday, I thought he played well. I thought he played really well, in fact, especially early when Nashville could have taken control. There were times in the third when they were up 3-1 that they had chances to increase the lead, and he shut the door and gave Vancouver a chance. Brett, I don't know what you bet in that game or if you were involved in it from a betting standpoint, but just an incredible turn of events there.
The only thing I had was the Nashville team total over 3. So I got a push out of it. Me too, whatever. Yeah. No harm, no foul.
Thankfully, you know what? It would have been even more livid. I had the freaking wherewithal to split up Nashville money line with Nashville to score in the first period, which has been that go-to bet for me in these playoffs. The losing team of the previous game bet them to score in the first period. And thankfully that minimized the damage, or else I would have been fit to be tied.
But yeah, what you guys said, the young guy played great, played well. I would, like Alex said, I would stick with him back in game 5 back in Vancouver. And Matt, how much more, there's not that big of a drop-off. How much more amped up is that Vancouver crowd going to be? Right? They already were with DeSmith in net. Now you're going back to Silvos. They're going to be even more jacked up to help give that team a little bit more extra adrenaline. But I was home, like you, watching the game. I got up. I flipped in between periods to the Caps-Rangers game. Got up to get a beer, came back to sit on the couch, and I was looking at a in-game highlight. Oh, I was like, this thing's already over? What the hell? I didn't even get to switch back to it. This thing's already over. So I was like, wow, that's unbelievable. Score 3 goals in 3 minutes of game time to win the game, right? 2 in the last 2 minutes of the game and then 1 admitted into overtime. So I was like, what the hell? That's a very disappointing loss at home for Nashville.
Absolutely it was. And like I said, if I'm Rick Tocchet, we'll see if DeSmith's ready to go. You know, he is up ahead, you know, on the food chain and the depth chart. He was ahead of Shelovs, but man, the way that young kid played, I think his ceiling is greater than Casey's. Casey, we know what he is. He's a decent backup, solid backup. But this kid might have a little bit of a higher ceiling. Don't forget, he's won big games. He's won world championship, junior championships, and big games for Latvia, his home country. And he's been in the bright lights in the big games internationally. So he looked as calm and poised as can be. So very impressive. And because he was so good, we got to do our little musical tribute here, just ever so briefly here, for our guy Artur Shelovs for that performance last night. Oh man, there it is. Awesome, awesome. Well done, Artur Shelovs. And there you go. People were always asking me too, what the hell song was that you were doing with Artur Shelovs? That's the song right there. Yeah. The Canadian band 5440. So that's why it's not as well known as maybe for some people as it otherwise would be. But yeah, absolutely outstanding performance by him, and what an incredible comeback by the Canucks. We move on to Rangers Capitals. Worst band ever. Wow, 54-40. You don't just don't like just nuts and bolts, meat and potatoes, rock music? Wow, that's wow. I mean, they're not my favorite band, but my goodness, I mean, that's pretty harsh. Pretty harsh to be that fucking tower, but 54-40. My goodness, wow. Believe me, there's a lot worse.
Heard of them.
World. Yeah,
I never heard of a team. That was great in the chat.
But as far as Rangers Capitals is concerned, that series is mercifully over. I was ready for it to be over. Washington was just looked like men against boys right from the beginning of that series. Capitals were atrocious. They had zero offense. I mean, poor Alex Ovechkin, no goal and no point, believe it or not, for the first time in his playoff career. I mean, holy shit. You talk about a terrible series for him, but it was really the whole team. You can't just put it on Ovechkin. There was no offense. Charlie Lindgren hit a wall. Finally, I don't think he was great in the series. And the number one factor in why this series was all Rangers, and especially in a sweep, the special teams. They absolutely fucking killed Washington in the special teams department. The Ranger power play could not be stopped. Like, it seemed like every time the Rangers got a power play, the goal was going to be scored. You know, that's how bad it got for Washington's penalty kill. And then conversely, Washington's power play was horrendous. And more, and I think the Rangers scored more on the Capitals' power plays than the Capitals did. Because the Rangers had a few short-handed goals in that series as well. So credit to the Rangers. You know, I know John Massey's a tough critic of his team because he loves them and he wants them to be the best they can be. So he's a tough critic sometimes, and he says they'll still probably have to up their ante up at a notch or two if they're going to beat Carolina in the next round. There's probably some truth to that, because as good as the Rangers were, you know, a lot of it was just a Washington team that was ill-equipped to compete, you know, with the New York Rangers in this series. And it will get much more difficult, assuming we get the Hurricanes Rangers second round that we all expect. But what a series for Vinny Trocheck. What a series for Panarin. Zibanejad was solid. Adam Fox, you know, on the blue line, a pillar of strength, took a pounding yesterday from Nick Jensen and went after him. I like that element. Matt Rempe, of course, chipped in during the series. You're right, John, even strength 5-on-5, that's still an area where the Rangers could improve, need to improve. Because you can beat the Capitals with 5-on-5 play that's meandering. But against Carolina, you're going to need to up the ante. There's no question about that. Alex, Rangers complete the sweep.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Washington, they use that old Denny Green turn. They are who we thought they were. You know, this is a team that, you know, fought like hell to get in, but just completely ran out of steam. You know, to see Ovechkin just do absolutely nothing is still shocking to me. You know, obviously we know that every star – has their time where you know they're at the end of the line and they aren't producing as much as they did in their prime. But just to see him do nothing is just like shocking. Like I said, it continues on for as long as he's been a member of that organization. When he doesn't play well or he's not in the lineup, everything changes with Washington. He's such a polarizing figure to that team and that franchise. I can't really think of anybody else who's been that polarizing, honestly. Where you take them out of the lineup, but that team just completely fades. Even Sidney Crosby, we talk about times where he missed games dealing with his concussions over the years. That team was still able to carry afloat. Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews, times where they missed spots during the Showtime dynasty, they still were able to keep afloat. But things are way different when Ovechkin is not the guy in D.C. And that's the biggest thing Capitals are going to have to look at now. Who's going to be the man? Because, yes, he's sticking around for another 3 years, but somebody has to step up and be the new leader and the future of this team. I don't really know who that is on that lineup right now, to be honest. So there's going to have to be some changes made, and it's going to be tough because, you know, they've kind of, you know, not necessarily they're in a spot to completely tear down everything and rebuild, but they're not necessarily in the most advantageous spot as far as cap space and things of that nature, too. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see. Carberry is a great coach. That's where you start. That's your foundation right now, is you have a good coach.
They do have a good one. I mean, yeah. The fact it was a damn near miracle, he got this team, this group, this roster into the playoffs. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So you start with him and then you move down. But, you know, great series for the Rangers. Do everything you did here, but just take it a step up to the next level against Carolina, and they should be fine. Like I said, keep the power play rolling. Keep the shorthanded goals rolling. I mean, you do that, you're certainly helping yourself out a big way. Shesterkin making big saves, but he'll have to come through a little bit stronger against a Carolina offense that's going to be hot and ready, assuming that it's Carolina that takes care of business. I'd be shocking if it's otherwise. But I think the Rangers are certainly in a good spot and to get some rest. And I'm sure they'd like to have the Islanders maybe stretch this series out a little bit longer and kind of, you know, tenderize those Hurricanes paws before they get ready for that second round.
And by the way, Rich H. Hit on a point that I wanted to. Shout out to TJ Oshie, man, playing with a broken hand in game four last night. What a job. And look, that's why I'm not going to he was quiet too, but my goodness, I'm not going to criticize him. That's just incredible toughness. Yeah. Him being even out there is just outstanding. It shows you the guts and the warrior-like mentality that players have at this time of year. And there's rumblings too that TJ Oshie has left the door open that he might retire. There's actually that talk that he might retire in the off season because the reason, I've actually read a couple things where he's going to mull his future, you know, in the off season, believe it or not, because you know what he's done, Alex, he started a new business venture called War Road. It's basically preventative safety hockey equipment that's made to really help protect players when they're out there on the ice. And I know he's really entrenched in that from a business standpoint. I think he founded it. So he's got this like business venture now and, you know, he's had a lot of injuries. He's had a lot of personal anguish, you know, with, you know, passings in his family, obviously. He's had a lot to go through. So I still think he's got a couple of good years in him as far as playing is concerned.
Yeah,
but
I do too,
he might be mentally worn out and emotionally worn out right now. And, of course, the injuries and now this, he played through a broken hand. But whatever he does, whether he plays again or not, he deserves credit for that. Playing through a broken hand. Way to go, TJ Oshie.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, we love seeing that in the playoffs. You got, you know, guys that are laying their bodies on the line game in, game out. And you know, obviously, like I said, you know, they pay for those sacrifices. But like I said, if this ends up being the last game of his career, then wow, what a way to go out, you know, being a warrior, something he's been his entire career, like I said, with all the trials and tribulations he's dealt with.
Yeah, no question. Brett, what were your thoughts there? Rangers getting the sweep.
Imagine playing through a broken hand and we're sitting out the third period because you have a stomach ache, like Austin Matthews.
A little dot edge, yeah. Is that a little dig at Austin Matthews there? Yeah.
But no, like you said, it's men versus boys. The Caps, I will say, I think they made it much more competitive game to game than we all thought they might. They just didn't get blown out of the water, but they had nothing to give. No offense. I mean, you take away Ovechkin, who are they relying on for goals, right? So, I mean,
you know what the problem was? Your Sonny Milanos and your Dylan Stroms and your Tom Wilson.
Hendricks, LaPierre.
LaPierre did absolutely dick all in that series. Yeah.
And their special teams were terrible.
Yeah,
their power plays were atrocious. So going forward for the Rangers, I mean, Canes, Islanders, whoever that might be, probably Canes, that's a totally different beast. So they're going to have to, you know, step up their game another notch if they want to get through them. So congrats to the Rangers. That's all I got for that.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt. Congrats indeed to the New York Rangers. And we wrapped up the night with, I'll tell you what, this was a very late start on the East Coast. So people might have fallen asleep, but the game might have put you to sleep as well. The Edmonton Oilers and the LA Kings. We go from just a series where it seemed like defense was optional. And then all of a sudden we get a 1-0 basically the defensive scrum last night between the Oilers and the Kings, between Skinner and David Riddick as your goaltending matchup. Although Skinner did most of the heavy lifting as far as the great goaltending performance, he was absolutely outstanding, you know, and when he's on like that, it becomes a very, very dangerous Edmonton team moving forward. Don't let this Edmonton team start winning games 1-0 now. Because if they start being able to win games 1-0, they can play with anybody out west and, of course, get to a Stanley Cup final. But that was impressive by Stuart Skinner. That was impressive defensively. I thought they gave LA very little. The shot blocking was there. Nurse, CeCe, Ekholm, go on down the list. They played a tremendous defensive game. Skinner was awesome as well. And then, really, the Oilers didn't generate much, you know, and David Riddick didn't face a ton of shots. They barely had 15 for the game, but one goal was all that they needed, and they get a huge 1-0 win and now go up 3-1 in the series. Now, it's probably more just a question of when this series ends at this point, Alex, but credit to the Oilers. Like I say, if they're going to find ways to now win games where they're not going to put up 3, 4, 5, 6 goals a game, and they're able to win those 2-1, 3-1 type of games, man, that puts Edmonton in a spot where they can hang and beat anybody.
Yeah, absolutely. We talk about it all the time, being adaptable in the postseason and being able to play many styles. It was just stunning to see that. And I kept saying it all night. How in the world is a Stuart Skinner, David Riddick matchup, you know, a 1-0 game, especially in the playoffs and especially in the spot where LA really needed to try to press, you know, press the action. They just couldn't break down the walls there. So it'll be interesting to see how, you know, the momentum of game five will it still be a slow pace? Will we see, you know, things maybe change? Of course, with the scenery going back to Edmonton and, you know, with LA, do you still stick with Riddick? Like I said, he didn't have a bad game. I don't see any reason to bring Talbot back in at this point. It seems like it's Riddick's net, you know, here and now. Based on how he played, he didn't blow it for you. So maybe you stick with him. And in saying that, you know, do you really think he's going to be able to pull a couple of wins out of his ass against this Edmonton team, especially if Edmonton gets their offense rolling? That I don't think so. So like you said, it's a matter of when, not if, for Edmonton moving on.
Brett, Edmonton on the verge of the second round.
Yeah, like you said at the start, this was too late for me. These 10:30 puck drops, I'm asleep on the couch, especially after the four games in a row sitting on the couch, parked in one spot. I couldn't keep my eyes open. But when I woke up and I saw 1-0, I was like, what in the hell happened here? You see Edmonton with only 13 shots. I was, what the heck? So I'm going to watch the game actually probably after we end because I have it recorded, but mind-blowing to see just 13 shots on goal from Edmonton.
Yeah, exactly. So very, very like I say, that's still a huge positive that Edmonton showed they can win a game like that in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Evan Bouchard's Bouch bomb on the power play, the only goal in the game.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Last night. All right, let's get to Monday night. We have two games on tap. That's why we did a little extended recap for you of Sunday. We'll begin with the Battle of Florida and Game 5 between the Tampa Bay Lightning and Florida Panthers. Florida -190, home favorites, 6.5 the total, a second crack at trying to close this series out, leading 3-1. If you look at this game and you take away what happened Saturday, and you would have said, just let's say Tampa Bay does not have the Sergachev thing happen, Florida loses game 4 and they come back home, I say Florida's got an amazing chance to wrap up the series. I still think they can wrap up the series. It wouldn't shock me if they do. But this whole Mikhail Sergachev miracle return to the lineup for the Tampa Bay Lightning, that's not something you should gloss over, because we saw it in game 4 Saturday afternoon, clear as day. Look at the emotional lift that return gave Tampa Bay. They came out with their hair on fire in that hockey game. And no wonder. This is our best defenseman behind Victor Hedman. After Victor Hedman, he's their best defenseman. It's not even a debate. He had a broken leg, suffered, what, late January, early February, which was, what, 2.5 months ago? And here he is, all of a sudden, he's rehabbed enough to get back on the ice, skate in the pregame, and be in the lineup, and return for game 5. I got to give Sergachev, what kind of healing power does this guy have? Like, this is absolutely tremendous how quickly he's been able to get back, 2.5 months, from sustaining that broken leg. He obviously worked his tail off to get to a point where he could be back at some point in the playoffs. And you could just see it with the Lightning on the way they played on the ice, the way their bench was just talkative. Everyone smart, like that was just such a huge emotional lift for the team. Just seeing him back there, he didn't even have to play a shift. I think if they had just put him out there in pregame, put him on the bench for the whole game, it still would have been a big lift just having him there. But the fact he was there and he played, and Tampa Bay for the first time in the series, they didn't just beat Florida. They controlled the game for the first time. They absolutely did. And I know Florida, because they're tough as fuck, they're a phenomenal team. They never say die. They made it interesting after the bad start. They get down 3-0. They got the lead cut to 4-3. And it looked like, uh-oh, is Tampa Bay going to give this one away? But they steadied the ship in the third period, 5-3, 6-3, and put the game away late in the third. We'll have to see how this one goes. But because of this whole Sergachev situation now that's unfolded the last in game four going into this game too, I'm a little bit more leery of taking Florida tonight. I think they can and wrap up the series. They're capable of it, but I'm a little bit leery of it now given the scenario we saw unfold on Saturday. So I'm off the side. I'll just say this right now. There's no interest for me in the side. I don't want Florida. I don't want Tampa either, though, because I do know Florida will come back with a better effort. You know, Paul Maurice said it was finally a game where they were the better team than us. They got us in game four. And I think when you look at the whole Sergachev situation, it was a lift in game four. Is that something that is a carryover to game five? Or is that, okay, the luster's worn off? And can it give us that same emotional upbringing here in game five on the road this time that it did at home in game four? That is a legitimate question. Too many questions for my liking. So for that reason, I'm passing on the side here in this game. But I am on the draw. I am going to sprinkle on the draw here with the Lightning and the Panthers. Like I say, I think we're close to maybe another overtime game. And we have seen, how many times have we seen elimination games as well go to overtime? It seems like we've seen more and more over the years elimination games go to overtime, because the one team's desperate to finish off the opponent. And of course, the opponent facing elimination is desperate, you know, to keep their season alive. So it leads to close games. So I'll sprinkle on the draw. And you know it damn well. You know I'm going back to it for the fifth straight game in this series. The over bifecta here, over 1.5, over 6.5. Now, look, this is the first 6.5 in this series. So I'm a little bit concerned about the bump up in the total. But, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. We've at least gone 1-1 and finally got a 2-0 with the first period full game over bifecta in game four on Saturday. So, yeah, over bifecta and a little sprinkle on the draw here for me at game five. Alex, Battle of Florida, Lightning Panthers.
Yeah, so I mean, there's a lot to unpack here. Let's start with the Sergachev stuff. And I know everybody's in the chat going on about Russian gas and all these different things and what it was. There's one of two things with his leg break. Either he had, because it was the tibia and fibula, so either he had two hairline-grade fractures that healed really fast, or he had a fracture that was clean enough to where they put a rod in, kind of like Alex Killorn when he was going to come back during the cup final. They would have been ready in about maybe like a week, and then they end up wrapping the series up against Montreal in five games. So 80 days, while that seems like it would be rapid, yes, for us civilians, that would be extremely rapid. But with, you know, modern medicine, and depending on what the injury was, that's not exactly the you know, super duper miracle. That being said, his presence is huge. And we talked about how much they missed him when he was gone on that defense, how important he was, an incredibly important piece. And we didn't realize it until after the fact. So now to have him back, have that momentum and be at home, that was one thing. Now you got to take that back on the road to Florida, where that's going to be a raucous crowd. You know, it's not a split crowd like it was 2 years ago. Keep that in mind too. It's Florida fans. You know, even though this is the Battle of Florida, but just like Tampa Bay's building is all blue, it's going to be a lot of red in Florida tonight, in Sunrise tonight. So I think Florida takes care of business here. I am on the first period over yet again, not on the full game over. I haven't been riding the bifecta in this. I've just been on the first period over, cashing in the fourth straight. So we're hoping that continues. I laid $1.30 with that. And sidewise, I don't need to touch anything, because thanks to me stacking in the series, I have a plus 425. On Florida to win the series 4-1. So I'm sitting in the catbird seat with that one. So just hoping that can cash in tonight, and hope we can get the first period over the line.
And you just heard it right there. So basically, Alex has Florida plus 425 in this game tonight. It's essentially what he's got. Doesn't that sound a lot better than minus 190?
A little bit.
I would think so. Just a little bit. Yeah, exactly. Brett, what do you think here? Tampa Bay, Florida, game five.
To go on, add more on Sergachev real quick was not only he came back, but he played a regular shift. And he wasn't just sitting back there.
And got on the score sheet, too.
Defending. He was jumping up in the play, right?
Yeah.
So that definitely is a big return. With this group, I don't think necessarily that carries over game to game. But I think now that they put a six spot on Florida, they got themselves a win. I think that gives them a little bit of an emotional boost. So I'm also on the first period over. I think they're going to ride that kind of adrenaline from the win into the first period. I think Florida obviously is going to want to respond better than being down 3-0 in the first period. So I'm going to go with that first period over as well. Smaller on the both teams to score in the first period. I think after that, though, the game's going to slow down a little bit. Being an elimination game, Florida does not want to give Tampa too much life. And Tampa's not going to want to play from behind. So I'm also on the draw as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think, look, we saw it actually a perfect example of what you just said, how this game might go, Brett, is last night. Rangers Capitals. You know, we saw the three goals in the first period. And at the end of the day, you still needed an empty netter from the Rangers with a minute to go for that game to go over the total. And I'm thankful we got it. I was on that over. So was Alex with Rangers and Capitals. So keep that in mind that if we could see something similar. We could see our 2-3 goals in the first period, and then it does slow down second period, and then it picks back up again in the third period. That third period over, someone in the chat mentioned that. I would never say that's a bad way of looking at things when it comes to an elimination game, you know, the third period over specifically. And yes, yeah, most books you can bet that pregame. The question is what you choose with that. Yeah,
shop around for not only price but number as well. That was the huge key to having those third period overs the other day. Pushed on both of them because of getting the right number. Where if I tried to chase an over 2.5, we're lost. 1.5 would have cashed for me, but laying that kind of a little juice. So definitely be cautious. I'm not looking at anything third period in this one. If I do, it would be in game.
I've got two same game goal scorer parlays in this game. One with Verhage and Stamkos, just the two of them. Verhage and Stamkos are the hottest goal scorers on the team, and each team pretty much in this series. Verhage and Stamkos, and then there's one that's got Verhage, Stamkos, and I threw Tkachuk into it because this is definitely a Tkachuk ka-ching type of game, as Steve Goldstein says. Whenever Tkachuk scores, he always says that Tkachuk ka-ching. Matthew Tkachuk. Like I say, these are the moments where he seems to score a big goal for his team, you know, these elimination game type of spots. So I'm rolling the dice there. Two goal scorer parlays, one that has just Verhage and Stamkos, and one that has Verhage, Stamkos, and Tkachuk in it. And if you really want to get adventurous, you could put Point in there too, because Point's another one of those big game players. Braden Point, that is, of course. So, like I say, getting a little interesting with that. Those are my favorite props. I'm keeping it light with the props. See these elimination games, things do tighten up just a little bit at times during the game. So tighten up the props as well. Just really hammer the ones that you think, the players that are in good form, the players that elevate in big games and big moments. It's really where you want to focus on in these elimination games as far as props are concerned. There's no question about that. I also do feel Vasilevsky over saves might be worth a look tonight. Florida at home all season, 2 years ago as well, 3 years ago even, they always pepper the shots on goal numbers at home. They are a very high volume shots on goal team on home ice, Florida. So the Vasilevsky over saves, I might dabble in that tonight.
I'd look at Bobrovsky too. He just got named a finalist for the Vezina today, so that might put a little pep in his step.
Yeah, definitely. There's definitely some. And there's one more too. That this is not going to be in the parlay, the goal parlay, but individually, it's going to be on my card. We're going back to Nick Paul again. He's heating up again. Look out, look out, Nick Paul, man, scored again on Saturday. Cashed another goal prop for him on Saturday. So back to the well with tricky Nicky Paul again for the Tampa Bay Lightning. All right, second game tonight of the doubleheader, Game 4 out west, Dallas Stars, Vegas Golden Knights. Dallas minus 125, road favorites Total 5.5 here, pretty much across the board in this game. When you look at this series, Dallas in game one, they had their chances, couldn't score. You know, there were times I thought they outplayed Vegas more in game one than vice versa. Game two, I thought Vegas was the better team. So there's no qualms about that, winning game two. I thought game one, Vegas could have won that game, or Dallas could have won that game instead of Vegas, and they'd be up 2-1 instead. There was no question who the better team was in game three, and it was Dallas. I mean, they were all over Vegas. It could have been 6-0 without Logan Thompson looking like Logan Brodeur in that game. He was absolutely spectacular. It's the only reason that game got to overtime, but it was a great game. They controlled the flow, controlled the game for the most part for Dallas. It's just that they just couldn't buy a goal for the longest time. Breakaway chances, all kinds of opportunities that just did not go in for them. And finally, of course, Wyatt Johnston to the rescue. What a game for him. He got the party started for Dallas in game three with the opening goal. And then he's the only guy with a fucking brain, apparently, on that team to go roof job on Logan Thompson with the game-winning goal in overtime, because he was stopping everything down low. And he is a good, you know, goalie. He's very athletic. He's got good, you know, dexterity, you know, down low. And it's very difficult to beat him along the ice. When he stretches those pads out, it can be tough. Tyler Seguin found that out the hard way. But they finally, Wyatt Johnston elevated the puck. You got to put the puck in the air. You got to go bar down. You got to try to get it under the crossbar when a goalie's playing that well. And sure enough, Wyatt Johnston did that for the overtime winner. And what a job by Peter DeBoer to put him on the top line. That essentially won them the game. He got two goals. He got the game winner. That one change in the lineup is what made the difference for Dallas. Wyatt Johnston with Roope Hintz, Jason Robertson, Ben with Duchesne and Stankoven, Dodonov, Seguin, and Pavelski. He put those three together, and we saw Seguin have a couple breakaways. You know, that line suddenly showed chemistry. And then even without, and what's impressive too is they didn't have Radek Foxa, a key fourth line defensive-minded player, checker, penalty killer for this team, and Mason Marchment, you know, who's been great since he got to Dallas. So they were without those two guys. They're both questionable for tonight. As far as Dallas goes, and they still played, you know, a hell of a game, you know, in game three against Vegas the other night. We'll see how it goes here in this one. I really thought Dallas would find a way to win game three. I like Dallas a lot in game three. I don't like them as much tonight. And I've also got the series position still there for Dallas. Remember, I'm on them for the series. So I don't feel like adding on or piling on with Dallas tonight in game four like I did in game three. I felt really good about game three. This one, you would expect Vegas to push back strong, be better. You know, Bruce Cassidy definitely looked agitated on the couple of the interviews he did with TNT during the game, saying, like, we got to get playing. And they know that, you know, they did not deserve under any way, shape, or form to win that game, Vegas. And you would expect them to be better here on home ice, try to take a 3-1. A series lead back to Dallas. But you also know Dallas now has some momentum and capability. What I like in this game is the 5.5 is tricky because the goaltending from Thompson has been good, especially the last couple games. I think Ottinger is due for one of those heck of a huge games from Ottinger. And people are ripping Ottinger too much for game three. I know it looks bad because it was 2-0. He gives up two quick goals and the other guy is standing on his head. But, Alex, you tell me if any goaltender, including Brodeur and Waugh in their prime, are stopping that Jack Eichel shot shorthanded. It was a perfect shot. You can't fault Jake Ottinger for that. It was a wonderful shot by Jack Eichel, who knows how to score, who knows how to make things happen offensively. It's just, it was shitty. I mean, it's, and it looks bad on Ottinger because he's given up two goals, including a shorty, and this guy just is looking like a brick wall at the other end. But all is well that ends well. Dallas found a way to win the game anyway. I'm not as comfortable backing them tonight. I'm just going to sit back. I've got them in the series already. I'm going to cheer them on because I'm not giving up hope that they can come back and win the series, but I do think Vegas will push back strong here tonight in game four. So I'm going to look at both teams to score in the first period. That is a bet that I think makes sense to me. Dallas, they got on the board early in game three. On Saturday in Vegas, but I would expect Vegas knows, like, we can't be outshot 15-2 in our own building like we were in game three, and we can't be that way again. We've got to be on our toes. We've got to be ready. We've got to dictate in the offensive zone tonight off the hop in game four compared to game three. So I think there's a good chance we see a goal apiece here in the opening period. So I'm not really doing the over bifectas and trifectas here. I'm even not even in love with the over 1.5. I'm just going to go for that plus money that's at FanDuel on both teams to score in the first period, because I think we've got a real good chance in a game like this. Urgency level ramps up a little for Vegas to try to regain that 2-game series lead going back to Dallas. And you know the urgency's still got to be there for Dallas, because just as much as game 3 was a huge game for them, they had to have it. This is just about every bit another game where they've got to have it, Dallas, because they don't want to be down 3-1. So I really like first period, both teams to score. I think we've got it's a good situational bet. It makes sense. I think we see aggression early from both sides, Dallas and from Vegas, after the bad start in the first period of game 3. So I definitely like that first period of both teams to score here tonight between these two teams. Let me just see what the current price is of that. But yeah, it's a good price at FanDuel. So like I said, makes sense to look in that direction there with the first period of both teams to score. That's the bet I like the most here when it comes to a game 4, other than the props, which I'll get to in a moment. Alex, game 4, Dallas, Vegas.
If you like Dallas to win this game, do not lay 125. Bet Dallas to win the series.
Yeah.
You can get anywhere between 100%. Plus 136 to plus 160. There's no reason to be laying a price here. If you think Dallas can win this game and even this up at 2, go ahead and take the spot that they go on and win 3 of the next 4 at plus 160. That's a much better betting option. Now, I'm not on that. I have Dallas futures as the West and the Cup. I don't know. Like I said, I'm just going to let those hang in the balance at this point. I will be on first period over in game, waiting for plus money. It's at $1.10 now, so wait a few minutes and you'll start getting into the plus range territory. Kind of the same thought of where both teams know they have to start dictating the pace as early as possible, especially because it's that kind of has that kind of feel where things are going to tighten up in the second period. So I'm hoping if I can get over 1.5 at plus money, cash that, and they get a couple of goals quick enough by the end of the first period, hopefully I can jump in and grab a live under at a 6.5 at a better price rather than that deal with anything 5.5. Like I said, the goaltenders have been playing well, and we've been seeing things kind of taper off a little bit, especially into the second period, and then kind of pick up the pace. So wouldn't shock me at all if this is one of those good last spots where you go over in the first period, under for the whole game.
Exactly. Plus 180, finally found it. Plus 186 at FanDuel for both teams to score in the first period. So that's plus 1. That's a damn good price. To me, it sets up perfectly. Yeah. Dallas has to come out firing. Vegas will, I think, after how bad they were in the first period the other night on their home ice. And that first period interview, go back and watch it with Cassidy, with TNT, TBS, I should say, during the first period. You know, he just was beside himself. They were just getting so outplayed. They couldn't even put a pass together. They couldn't even get through the neutral zone barely one or two times that whole first period. Vegas, you know, that's how bad it was for them to start game 3. So, you know, they'll be looking to make some adjustments and change that here tonight in game 4. What do you think here in this one, Brett, Dallas, Vegas?
Yeah, both teams to score and the over both make sense in the first period. I haven't pulled the trigger yet. The only thing I'm on right now pregame is the draw in this one as well. We've got a little bit of a overtime history between these two teams going back, looking at the last 10 games. And even more than that, most of their matchups are one goal with an empty net goal game. So I expect it to be a tight game. Game 4, both teams know the meaning of it. We either put a stranglehold on Dallas or we're tied going back to the Big D. So I expect it to be a tight game. The only thing pregame is overtime and my bargain bin, which we'll get to.
All right, bargain bin special. A hint at one from this game for Brett Skalski when it comes to Stars and Golden Knights. I agree, don't sleep on these player props as far as block shots go. Even I'm starting to get into them. I had Trouba yesterday for the New York Rangers, and he easily went over his block shots. I mean, definitely want to be paying attention to this. I mean, it's a good angle, and it's something worth noting. I think definitely Tanev over shots. He's a shot-blocking wizard. There's no question about that for the Dallas Stars. You could actually, there's good shots. There's been a lot more blocked shots in this series than there's been in some others. Vancouver, Nashville, there's been a shit ton of blocked shots as well. But in this series, Chris Tanev absolutely is a candidate for a block shot prop. Braden McNabb for Vegas is a candidate for a block shot prop. Martinez for Vegas as well. Those are ones that really stand out here in this game as far as block shot props. Because look, the stakes are higher. And because of that, you're seeing a lot more shot blocking going on here in the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. So definitely make sure you keep an eye on that market, the shot block prop, the shot block prop market. It's definitely one you can take advantage of at this time of year. Yeah, as far as props for me in this game, you know, we have to go back to Wyatt Johnston. Of course, that was my bargain bin special Saturday night. Wyatt Johnston over 1.5 points plus 400, and he cashes it by scoring the overtime winner. What a way to cash it as well. The bargain bin on Saturday, but I'm going right back to the same props. It's not my bargain bin tonight, by the way, Wyatt Johnston, but I am back to the same props. Goal, assist, point, sprinkle on the over 1.5 points. Definitely. I agree. I think Dodonov, Sagan, and Pavelski, that line I could see getting on the board. They had a good performance in game 3. Sagan had a bunch of chances. Pavelski still is on power play 1. And Dodonov, I thought, you know, we had a couple of looks as well. So it wouldn't surprise me to see any of them get on the board for Vegas. You look at the lineup going into tonight, Barbashev, Eichel, Marchessault. Hurdle's been great. I mean, you would think Tomas Hurdle in some form. You got to look for props with him, with the way he's played for the most part here in this series so far. He's probably the number one option or look for me would be him here going into this game tonight. People mentioning Dorofeev. I don't even see Dorofeev scheduled to play tonight, so be careful with that. Remember, this team's fully healthy now. Barbashev, too, you know, is not a bad option, I think, as well. I agree with that. What Robert says, Barbashev has got value with Eichel and Marchessault, who've been great. Eichel and Marchessault, goes without saying, you know, are always worth a look. But you got value with Barbashev because he's on that line and he's not priced like those other two players. Great stuff. We shout out everyone in the chat. Hit the like button. We appreciate it very much. And a reminder, Patreon exclusive betcast tomorrow night for a huge Tuesday night. We got 4 games, all of them elimination games tomorrow night. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait. 7 p.m. Eastern. And again, sign up, patreon.com/iceguys, just $10 per month. It's your only way to tune in and watch and access and join us for that betcast tomorrow night. Our daily sides, totals, and player props posted on the Patreon page each and every day as well. Goalie charts, totals charts, and more bonus content. $10 per month. Sign up, patreon.com/iceguys. And make sure you take advantage. 15% offer at the Ice Guys store, iceguys.myspreadshop.com.
Yeah, you get all of our wonderful merch, including this hoodie. We got t-shirts, we got caps, we got everything. And up until midnight Eastern tonight, you can get 15% off. Go to iceguys.myspreadshop.com. Click on the redeem button at the top of the page. Add everything to your cart. 15% will be taken out before you check out. So definitely take advantage of that. That ends at midnight Eastern tonight. That's over at iceguys.myspreadshop.com.
All right. We'll be back with Bargain Bin Special of the Night and Best Bets right after we hear from our great sponsors.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
All right, Boston Hemp Inc., make sure you check them out. Get 20% off all orders on the website using the promo code ICEGUYS at bostonhempinc.com. Good stuff. You know what? We all need to love our teams the way Real Deal Prime loves his Buffalo Sabres. I mean, it's April 29th. They've been out of the mix for a few weeks, and I'm seeing all kinds of Sabres stuff from our guy Real Deal Prime in the chat. So, he loves his team. How can you hate that? How can you hate that? No matter what they do, you got to stand by them. You got to love them. All right. Bargain bin special of the night for this Monday playoff slate. Alex, what do you like in the bargain bin tonight?
Yeah, heading to the Battle of Florida. And like I said, I think the Panthers take care of business tonight. Somebody who's been kind of quiet for the most part in this series is Alexander Barkov. Now, he is fourth on the team in shots in the series. He has 10 shots, but only 2 assists, no goals. I think that changes. I think it changes in a big way tonight. So give me Alexander Barkov to score 2 or more goals plus 1,600. That's available at FanDuel and BetMGM. I think he's one of their top leaders, and obviously he's going to be one of those guys to kind of help them steer the way. We've seen what Reinhart has done. We've seen what Tkachuk has done, but I think Barkov is definitely the guy to look for. So he gets 2 goals here tonight plus 1,600, my bargain bin special for Monday.
All right, Alexander Barkov, Florida Panthers, to get 2 goals for Alex P. Smith with his best bet, or bargain bin special, I should say, for Monday night. Brett, what do you got in the bargain bin?
I'm going to Sin City, as I said, and like we talked about during the game breakdown, we expect a little pushback from Vegas against Dallas to hopefully go up 3-1 in the series. Jonathan Marchessault was held off the score sheet last game. Going back to last year's playoffs, it's rarely he gets held off the score sheet 2 games in a row. I'm going with Marchessault over 1.5 points at plus 390.
You're muted.
Sorry about that. That's a multi-goal game, right, for Jonathan Marchessault?
Just multi-points, over 1.5 points.
Okay, yeah, over 1.5 points. There it is. Jonathan Marchessault, over 1.5 points for Brett Skalski with his bargain bin special of the night. My bargain bin special of the night for this slate, there's some pretty good choices, pretty good options that are out there when it's all said and done. But I'm going to go back to the Dallas-Vegas game, and I see him playing with Eichel and Marchessault. These two guys have gotten in on the act goal scoring wise quite a bit so far in this series, but their line mate hasn't yet, but he has had chances. I saw him have a really good look a couple of times in game 3, and he's on that top line still. It doesn't look like there's going to be a change tonight, and the price is good. We're going to go to Close Shave Barbashev, Ivan Barbashev for the Vegas Golden Knights plus 410 at Betano. Heck of a price for someone playing on the top line with two players as good as Jack Eichel and Jonathan Marchessault are right now for the Vegas Golden Knights. So Ivan Barbashev, Vegas, plus 410 for my bargain bin special of the night for this Monday NHL card. All right, best bets. Alex, what do you like for best bet?
Well, it seems like it might be the last time we can ride it, and it's 26-6 the last 32. It's cashed in all 4 of the first 4 games in this series. That's that Tampa Bay Lightning first period over. So we're right back to the well, laying $1.30 with the over 1.5. Florida, Tampa Bay, that is my best bet.
All right, Panthers and Lightning over 1.5, minus 130. First period, best bet for Alex B. Smith. Brett, what do you like for best bet?
I'm going to go for something with a little bit higher odds. My best bet is going to be the overtime with Florida and Tampa. All the games in the series have been fairly tight. Florida has outplayed them. We had a 1-goal game in game 1, overtime in game 2, empty netter to make a 2-goal game in game 4. And if you take away that Sergachev bump from the Lightning in game 4, that's a tie game. So I'm going to go with overtime here in game 5 between Tampa and Florida.
All right. There it is. The Alex B. Smith playbook here for Brett Skalski. The draw with the Lightning and the Panthers. Best bet for Brett Skalski. My best bet, you know, I really like it. And we talked about it with Dallas, Vegas. That both teams to score in the first period. Give me that at plus 186 for my best bet. I think it makes perfect sense. You've got a Dallas team that's got to win this one just like they had to win game three. Be aggressive early. Vegas damn well should be aggressive early because they certainly weren't in game three. They were anything but that in the first period, getting completely outplayed, completely dominated at home in the first period of game three. They'll want to get off to a stronger, faster start. Both teams want a fast start, and I think both teams want to have a chance to find the back of the net in the opening period. So Dallas, Vegas, both teams to score first period plus 186. For my best bet for this Monday card. That'll wrap up this edition of the Ice Guys. Thanks to everyone for joining us. Hit the like button on the way out. We appreciate it very much. A reminder, the Ice Guys is live 7 days a week, Monday to Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern, Saturday and Sunday, noon Eastern. If you can't watch the show live, download the Ice Guys podcast in audio form on all major podcast platforms, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and more. Download the Ice Guys podcast when you can't watch the show live. And make sure you update your bookmarks. Our new Ice Guys podcast page can be found at Bleav.com. That's Bleav.com. That is the new home of the Ice Guys podcast. So make sure you update our bookmarks and check out the podcast now as part of the Bleav network at Bleav.com. And, of course, our BetCast tomorrow night, Patreon exclusive. What a night it's going to be. Four game fives, four elimination games. All of them are 3-1 series. So it's a great night to join us on the BetCast, and a great time to sign up at patreon.com/iceguys for just $10 a month to be a part of that BetCast coming up on Tuesday night. For Alex B. Smith and Brett Skalski, I'm Ian Cameron. Have a great Monday night. Enjoy the games and good luck. And we will be back with you tomorrow on Tuesday. It's a busy Tuesday, doubleheader Tuesday, daily show and Patreon exclusive BetCast coming up on Tuesday right here on the Ice Guys.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.